Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim show today. We do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the corn patch, and you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Now, let's go to John 8:29. Turn there with me. Get the foundation laid here this evening. I guess I'll be probably doing better than most. 8:29, book of John, and it says, "And he that has sent me is is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So it's back to a Father thing, isn't it? It's back to, Father, send the Holy Spirit to lead and to teach us. And that's exactly what we got done. The issue of God's Holy Spirit enables us, our human spirits, to do God's knowing will, number one, and to be motivated to be a Father pleaser, number two. See, we forget our place is to please the Father. Our place is not to try to elevate our place and to become, oh, look at me because I prophesy, or look at me, I had a dream, or look at me, I'm so spiritual and I want to be whatever that is so you think I'm some great one. That is not at all what the Father's got in mind. We are what? Children of the Most High God. He has anointed all of us differently to bring us all at times and places upon this earth to do specifically those things in which has been assigned to us. You know what the problem is? Most of us will never have fulfilled what we were sent here to do because we got saved, we got into a church, some of us got filled with the Holy Ghost, and bless God, we got into the agenda of the church, into religion, and most of us will never succeed. Now, let me tell you something that I say all the time. I, because of being a prophet of God, I get a lot of people that come to me and say, oh, I'm a prophet, okay, or I'm called to be a prophet. And you know what I tell most of them is this. The call doesn't really make a difference at this point in your life. What makes a difference is you probably will never fulfill it. You probably will never fulfill it. And brothers and sisters, there are rules to this thing. And the rule is not that all you got to do is fast one day a week or 2 days a week and bless God, drink a Pepsi Cola three times a month or whatever it is and get into this ritual thing and all of a sudden you're a full-blown prophet. It don't work that way. Prophets beget prophets. If you're thinking about being a prophet, you better get your hiney under a real hard-nosed prophet. Now, I don't know any offhand. But you better get under a real prophet and you better grow up. You're going to screw up. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to mess up and a real prophet's going to straighten you up. You might not like it. You may decide you don't like me. But the fact of it is you're going to learn something. I'm right. I've been around this for 31 years. I didn't start yesterday. I've had to deal with visions since I was 8 years old. I didn't start yesterday. The fact of it is I have traveled the world. I've been shot at. They've tried to kidnap me. They've tried to burn places that I've stayed to kill me. They unloaded seven guys off of a bus in the Philippines and slaughtered them and left a note on one of them's chest saying, we killed the prophet Deckard. I know what it is to be chased over this world. I know what it is to stand before Muslim kings and presidents and have to prophesy and say, in 3 days, this is going to happen, knowing full well that if it didn't happen in 3 days, they're going to throw me in a hole somewhere and throw the key away, and nobody is going to know ever what happened to me. I know what this is all about. The sad thing of it is we got people thinking that God's calling them to major prophecies that, bless God, that's paid no price. Listen to me. It does not, never has, and never will work that way. It doesn't work that way. And it's sad because we got so many people, as I keep saying so many things that nobody now knows, seems to know exactly which way should we go, hither or thither. Okay. Now, in the ninth verse of Romans, the eighth chapter, turn back there. I should have told you that I should have placed something there myself, as a matter of fact. But in Romans 8, the ninth verse. Now, it says this, Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have the Spirit of God of Christ, have not the Spirit of Christ, I'm sorry, he is none of us. So we have, understand, we're not of the flesh. The foundational truth is that although the Holy Spirit dwells in us and leads us by what? An inward prompting, and that's what that is, all right? All his activities are guided and guarded by the outward witness, which is what? The written word. See, that's where people get so fouled up and don't understand. It's got to line up with the word. Now, let's try this one out. Brother Deckard, have you been in the latest service where gold dust has fallen down? And they're finding diamonds on the floor, okay? Tell me where that lines up with the word. God's consistent, folks. God ain't doing a new thing with gold dust. Okay? You say, well, I was there. Well, then you better go check the air ducts. You better find out how they stuck it in there because it didn't come with God. And if it did come, it came, if it came spiritually, it came with a familiar spirit. Why? Because that's not consistent with God. You see, what we've got now in the church is we have got, it's showtime. If we can't entertain you, you're not going to stay. If we can't do the latest and greatest. Remember when the guy came through the country, that guy by the name of Brown, and he got everybody laughing, and everybody fell on the floor, and bless God, we laughed, and we felt so good, and how much closer did that get us to God? Not one iota. What was that? That was a familiar spirit. Did the church know? No, the church just lined up and called it a refreshing. Come on, folks. Yet we lined up. We have been through all kind of things. And now the big thing is the gold dust is gone. The gold. Oh my, I had it all over my eyelids. I had it all over my hands. Come on, folks. Grow up and let's understand something. Let me tell you what the presence of God is all about. One day, we're working here. You people came. You fasted 3 days and three nights, or most of you have. The ones that you can't, you're going to have to work on it. Let me tell you why we're going to work on this thing. I'm trying to be tolerant. I already wanted to call the next meeting that we have next quarter for those that will fast 7 days and seven nights without food, just liquid. But you know what God told me? Got too many bottle suckers out here that's still coming for the whistles and the bells, and they still haven't got down to the nitty-gritty about seeking Him with all they got. Now, I don't know what portion that is of you, but I'm going to listen to what God's telling me, and I'm going to pull back. And I'm going to wait, but I'm going to tell you something. Probably within the next year, it's going to take 7 days and seven nights of fasting to come into this building. And you're saying, well, what are you trying to do? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to bring you to a place that we'll come in. We'll burn the incense. We'll begin to pray. We'll do what God wants us to do. And the manifestation of God is going to come into this place so strongly that cloud that's appeared to me three times, either going to, and that cloud will appear again and again when we get people on the same page. They're all going the same direction with the right motives in their hearts. The cloud's going to start appearing. Now that's manifestation. What are you going to do with that? Oh, some people say, well, Deckard had a fog machine and he just turned it on and it blew all the fog out there. Well, whoop-dee-doo. You'll have to go find the fog machine because there's not going to be one in the room, okay? Or hopefully within 100 miles of this place. The other thing that's going to happen is that the blessed God will take Kadesh. The water will turn to wine again. But it's not going to, folks, it's not going to do that playing games. It's not going to do that unless you're willing to dedicate yourself beyond what you've ever known. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? This is a lifestyle. It's not something cute. It's not something to be doing because you think you're cute and you're different and everybody around you is going to go, oh, they must be holy because look at them now. It's a lifestyle. If you're not willing to change your life to come into this lifestyle, you wasted a weekend here. This isn't something we're going to do for 6 months and then you become so cockeyed holy and you get so many visions and dreams that bless God, you just, well, you're up there all the time anyway. No, it's never going to come to that. This thing's going to work and it's going to work exactly according to the Word of God. I have brought up thousands, I've ordained thousands of preachers through 31 years. I built hundreds of churches around this world in the time that I've traveled this world. And I'm going to tell you now, this thing can be done, but I'm going to tell you where the hardest place in this world to do it is here in America because I'm here right now. There are a bunch of stiff-necked, religious freaks. That's what you are. You're into a lot of things, none of which pertain, much of which pertain to God at all. Most of you are smart enough to get saved, then you went over here and got in some kind of a cult of some kind, and it doesn't matter where they call it, this, that, or whatever it was, bless God, you went whoring after it and you found it. You got locked up into it, a familiar spirit came along, and you didn't know a familiar spirit from bless God, a pumpkin, and the next thing you know, what's happened? You're in it full time, and now you judge everything and everybody, and you wouldn't know Jesus Christ if He come in the door and sit down beside you. For most of their cases, that's the truth. All right? Now, the 14th verse of that same and we read that once. 8:14 says, "As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Sons. The word here is maturity. Responsibility. It's the meaning of that word. Ability to what? To make decisions. Children, sons. That's what it means. So if we are what? He's talking, now listen, let's read it this way. For as many, they are the sons, they are the maturity of God. They are responsibility, and they have ability to make decisions by God. Alright? Now that's what we're supposed to be. Rich motivation for growth and change, that has to be an ingredient. Another one is an ingredient for an existing life with fulfillment, has to be an ingredient. Guidance is a prerequisite to shaping our conduct and fulfilling our mission. See, that, and that's what it is all about. This isn't about a dream. It's not about hearing an audible voice. It's about guidance. Fruit is a settled sense of security, knowing what He has to say and being aware of what He wants. Isn't that all what it is? You have to understand that. The question of final authority, we're at the age of rebellion and questioning all of authority. And that's where we're at today. Instead of Him being the final authority, we are an age of rebellion and questioning all authority. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. And you know, it seems like we just almost stand up and shake our fist in the face of God and try to say, and try to be, again, I hate to keep using the word stupid, but so insecure. There's a better way of putting that, I think. So insecure that we think that nobody can know anything except what we know. Now, folks, again, that's just not the way this works. See, in the charismatic movement, we got kind of out of hand because what we got you believing is, through the teachers, we got believing, getting you to believe that you knew more or as much as or more than the people up here in the Bemas know. And that's never going to be the truth. Anytime the people know more than the ministry knows, game's over. It's out. All right? And that's what we've got. What we've got is the final authority being God's Word. We're rebelling against God's Word. We're coming in a place, and we question the authority. Conflict and tension between control and freedom. And that's really what it is. There's a conflict between, and a great amount of tension and stress goes with between control and freedom. The kingdom came, what? The kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom come, which is freedom, thy will be done, control. Whose control? God's control to us. The Scripture reveals that we are under the authority of who? God Himself and His Word. See, and again, a lot of people don't want to grasp hold of that because that hurts. He's a Father who knows wills and loves us. He knows wills. He knows what you will, what you're wanting. He knows that. He says, well, you know, He says, I know what you want. But here's the key. Do you will for your life what you want for your life? Or would you rather get yourself into position to be led? What is wrong with most of the ministry today is they never came up and they never learned properly. They went out here and somebody suggested to them that they get into ministry because they had passed course 263 in the local a church bulletin that gives you the right now to be ordained and gives you the right to preach in their organization, and you are a minister of whatever choice, in some cases, that you want to choose to be. Some of them don't even ordain you as any of the fivefold ministry. It's just the fivefold ministry. Now, the problem that we had was this. You went on out proudly. Okay? I know people, you know, it used to be that you could get a minister's license in the back of some of these magazines. You ever see those years ago? Maybe they still do it. Probably on the internet today. And you could just get yourself a minister's license, and bless God, then you were a minister. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That license meant as much in the eyes of God as most of what people got out of what they called the church. Okay? Why? Because most of those people either weren't ministers or they weren't ready to be ministers. And yet they went out here and they got into this thing, and the first thing they got to doing was they got to preaching all this stuff that they didn't know anything about themselves to impress the people, and all of a sudden things started coming down around their ears, and it always does. Why? Because everything you're going to preach, you're going to live, preachers. That's the reason I keep telling people, You better preach my stuff. You better teach my stuff. You better tell the jokes the same place that I tell them. All right? That's going to keep you out of trouble with God and this prophet. And if you can't do that, you're going to get in trouble with God, and then God's going to tell the prophet, and then the prophet is going to get after you like flies on molasses. And that's all there is to it. Why? Because you're not accomplishing anything. My Lord and my God. You know, I've told people I forgot more scripture than most of them's ever going to know. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm just saying it to be the truth. There is not a subject that you can bring up, talk about, or even think about that I haven't ministered, preached, and lived somewhere along this 31 years of ministry. Because what? That's my job. I study the Word of God day and night. I'm open. I'm teachable. People got something to say to me, I listen. If it's a bunch of baloney, I usually tell them right quick. But if it's not, I say, well, listen, I'll take that home and I'll seek the face of God. I'll get back with you. Who knows? It may be right. And if it's right, you want to know something? I want to be in on it. Don't you? Right. See, and that's the reason I said, that's the reason you've got to stay teachable, folks. I wish God told me everything, but He doesn't. You know why? Because I'm not God, neither are you. That's the reason God uses us all, and we're supposed to bring this thing where it'll fitly come together, right? Our problem is we get down here and want to get playing the Lone Ranger, and we don't want to be under the authority of anybody. Well, God told me, brother. I mean, I'm sorry. But it is not the spirit of the prophets. Aren't they required for the prophets themselves? If you're going to prophesy, is that not? They're not the prophets over all that? Of course they are. Real prophets. I'm not talking about somebody in the local church that's got their hand there volunteering. I'm talking about seasoned prophets. I'm talking about people that's put it out there on the line that walk in it every day. That's the reason I keep saying, you don't find these people that have come up under ministry. What you found these people that somehow guessed a few things and a few things come to pass. Now, how many of you people in this room know that there's a guy that's well known? If I could think of the name, I'd tell you the name, but I can't think of the name. That has said that we're now at the end of the hard times, and everything now is going to be blessings, and everything's just going to be fine. How many's heard that one? That's not even close to being what's going to happen. What is that? Reading the book. Somebody yelling, peace, peace. That's not going to happen. All hell's about to break loose. God's gathering the remnant, trying to get us to come together, trying to get us to understand how we might escape what's coming to the United States and to this world. Then we got some jughead out here on national television saying those kind of things. Now, as I said, that guy needs taken out behind the barn and somebody horsewhipping. And people said, well, you can't get away with that. No, you can't. I said that's what needs to be done. I didn't say that's what to do, okay? Somebody go take the guy out and horsewhip him and say, well, now Prophet Eckert said to do that. Don't do that. Now, then we have another guy that's come along this year already and said that bless God, that we're going to have the great earthquake in here in the Midwest. How many's heard that one? The great earthquake is going to happen in the Midwest, right through that fault line, right through here where you're sitting tonight. Listen, no, it's not. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I live here. Mount Carmel, remember? Real prophets come from Mount Carmel. I'm from Mount Carmel, just down the road, okay? God's not going to let a great earthquake come in here and this prophet not know about it. Why? Because it's my job to warn you. Okay? So what's that guy all about? I don't know. Maybe he ate too much pizza. I don't know. But that's not what's going to happen in here. Another guy writes and says to me, well, Prophet Deckard, so you'll understand, this is the last year that we're going to have a Super Bowl. I said, really? That's not going to happen either. Now, if you keep guessing, sooner or later, you're going to get something right, aren't you? Now, if you go down to what I call Lulu the palm reader, okay, somebody that works on familiar spirits will take your money. Now, listen to me. They will get more right than these people working with familiar spirits out here in the name of the Lord are even getting close to. They hit and miss too. Real prophets don't miss. They hear from God. They deliver from God. They warn you from God. And then they'll take you to the places that will show you how to escape the things that God's bringing. That's what real prophets do. Now, let's go on. Now, How we use the Scriptures. The Word is not a sword by which we do what? Cut off another's ability to hear. And too often we do that. And how do we do that? Well, that's not a God. The brothers from Minnesota is here, and I know we had a discussion. One of the bigger churches there, Pentecostal churches, where we were at up there in Minnesota, the man got in the pulpit, publicly used my name, and told people not to go, that I was a false prophet, not to go to the service. Now, what's that guy doing? That guy's taking upon, doesn't even know me, but he's taking upon himself, because I am not of his feather, if you will, that I have to be wrong. Now, listen to me. What if he's wrong? Everywhere that I go in the United States of America as a prophet, it's their hour and time of visitation. When I was in California last year, I prophesied and told them they were going to begin to have problems in that Fertile Valley. It's through Stockton and Sacramento and in that area. And that they were going to see some of the vegetables and some of the stuff begin to have a bacteria, a blight. And I said, when you begin to see that, it's going to get worse, until it's going to get to the time where this valley will hardly produce anything at all. Now, since that year, the E. coli thing happened with the spinach. They had a problem with the lettuce. They had a problem, bless God, with the oranges all froze because it got too cold. And now they've got a bacteria on the grapes they don't know what to do with. What is that? That's what real prophets do. Okay? That's what real prophets do. Now, so I go back, and you see, the time of visitation is here. This is the time of visitation. This is the time that God is going to visit His people by the prophets. And His prophets are going to bring to you and warn you and teach you to bring you into that place, to bless God, that will be ready for these things to come. And you know, that's the reason I keep saying, without the intervention of the angelic forces of God, we're not going to make this thing. God fed us 40 years when we wandered in the wilderness. You better understand something. The mark of the beast is coming. And when it comes, you better understand, if those angels don't feed you and yours, you're going to run out of that food that I'm talking about putting up. And then what are you going to do? The meal barrel won't run empty. The cruise will stay full of oil, if in fact you'll serve God in the right capacity. All right? And if you don't, you and yours is going to die like the rest of them. But listen to me. You stand before the Lord God, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear Him say. I sent my prophet during the time of visitation, and you listened not. That's what He's going to tell you. The fact of it is, I'm not just out here doing this because I got nothing else to do. As I told you, of course I'm concerned, I'm paying one hell of a price to do what I'm doing. I had to leave the third world. I had to leave multitudes that I'm ministering to. I had to leave kids that I've held on my lap and loved and cared about for years to bring me to what? This? Bring them ministers together and they won't listen. They can't get committed because they're out here trying to do their own thing. Is that what God has brought me to? No, finally God revealed to me what He's brought me to. Oh yeah, I'm going to have to mess around with the ministry. Try to get them to reason. Try to get them to listen. Try to get them to understand. They don't quite know what they're doing. They need somebody that knows to tell them. All right? But here's what God told me. He said, I have called you. The angel came to me just a few weeks ago, and the angel said to me, he said, the Lord God has brought you here, and you're going to be like unto Moses. And he said, you're going to have a cry, and your cry to the church is going to be, let my people go. And I thought, be sure to thank the Lord when you get back to the throne room, all right? Do me that kind of favor. You don't have to have enemies when you get to do that. You just make them right along the way. And now let me tell you something. The plague that's coming, what happened to let the people finally go? Now listen to me closely because I'm giving you revelation knowledge from a prophet of God. The plagues had to come, didn't they, in Egypt? The plagues are going to come. The pastors aren't going to be able to do anything for you, and the pastors are going to let you go. Why? Because that's what God is doing. God said that I will cause you, the angel said, God said He would cause you to draw people by the multitudes. Not all at once, as I said, this is going to be a huge gathering for these small fellowships that we're starting. We're going to keep breaking them off where everybody that's got a call in their life to minister is going to get that opportunity to prove their ministry first, to come up and bless God, understand There's certain things you're going to do, and after you accomplish those things, this prophet will fast and pray over you, pour oil on you, lay hands on you, and we'll bring you in the ministry and impart part of this prophetic anointing into your life when God says to do it. And that's the only way we're going to do it. All right? But we're going to take millions home to Israel. We are gathering here in North America. Millions are going to gather. We've already got people that's going to help get land in Israel. You can't just all of us go over there, right? I told the chief rabbis, there's more of us than there are of you. Now they didn't act like they wanted to listen to that. And I told him, I said, when I bring the millions home, at that time I didn't know by revelation knowledge, by the visitation of the angel, that was true. But I was assuming that God was going to let me do it. I said, when we bring the millions home, what are you going to do with us? You're giving the land away, but you better just make sure that you stretch it all the way to the Euphrates. Okay? And because that's our land, we're coming home. And I said, we are going to provoke you to jealousy. We are, Ephraim. And we will have our birthright. And you know something? The Lord God will kill the fatted cow. Huh? The prodigal son is coming home. Okay? We're coming home. In spite of the church, in spite of Israel, in spite of your friends and neighbors and some of your family, we're going home. But we're going to network it. And we're going to have somebody over there that's the West God going to set up housing and jobs and all that stuff coming. Somebody said, when's it going to come? I want you to listen closely to this. This is going to happen after the war in the valley, okay, of Armageddon. God's not going to raise and draw Ephraim back together after all these centuries as he promised he'd do to take us over there and most of us die in that war. That's not what this is about. We're going to leave America before the complete annihilation of America. America is going to be completely annihilated. There's not going to be anything left of America when this thing's over. When the dust settles, there won't be anything here worth having, period. The soil will have such nuclear content within it, it'll be years upon years upon years before anything will ever grow in our fertile land again. But you see, our land isn't this land. Our land is our land. We're coming, getting ready to come home. We're getting ready to go home. That thing that you felt in your lives, all your lives, that somehow you just don't belong. You know, well, I went to that church and I really liked it, but just didn't belong. So I went to this church over here. And I went to that church. You know what that is? Ephraim, come home. Come home, Ephraim. Some of us got locked up into churches and thought it was a thing, and then you heard that cry. The cry that I set forth all those years ago, 20 years ago, when the Lord God said, you go out on the back porch of your home, you take the shofar, and you blow that shofar with all of your might. One long blast. Boy, I took a deep breath, and I mean, I blasted that shofar as long and as hard as the breath in my body would sustain it. And when it was over, I turned and I took the shofar. I walked into the house, and the angel of the Lord spoke, and he said, now, it's done. The seed's been planted and Ephraim will come home. And I thought, oh, that must be going to happen next week. 20 years later, you're beginning to hear what I did 20 years ago. So far, Ephraim, come home. You're beginning to heed to it. Do you all understand it? No, most of you don't even know how to write it. But you're going to learn. You're going to learn to do the things that God told us to do. Well, I did so well with this tonight. I didn't get through the first part, and the first part had lots of parts, but let me go ahead and see if I can come down through here and see. He speaks in many portions and in many ways with a voice that speaks and finds us. Well, we know that in Hebrews 1:1. Write that down. I want you to go there. You can look that up yourself. That's not hard to find. You understand something, that in God's love letter to us, and that's what His Word is, to His children, to you and I, in this we have God's expression of His moral and spiritual expectations and safeguards for everyone that He loves. Not just me, everyone that He loves, all right? His voice is not always welcome, and that you want to understand. We're wandering helplessly in our loneliness when His presence found us. See, we keep saying, well, I found God. No, you didn't. He found us. All right? He offered to be our helper and our guide. And some of us said, yay, yay. And we did, right? Which is the right thing to do. The Scriptures include these seven things. The Word is objective and self-revealed. And boy, is it ever. God's Word is the voice to us, lest we be lost in our own wanderings. And we would be. And some of us are, even in the church, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're lost because in our own wanderings. He calls to be written what He wants us to know, how He feels about things, and where He's going. Number two, everything God does in its nature and purpose. Everything's redemptive. And that's something that people don't understand about God. It answers the questions I need to know in order to be what? To be saved, to be filled with love, to have purpose, and to have the philosophy of life that God wants us to have and the moral standards in which we're to live with. That's what it's all about. That's what the law is. It's so that we know how to act right on this earth to the people that's on this earth that we're related to. And I don't mean immediate family. Three, spiritually. God is a spirit. The Scriptures are spirit and life given for spiritual understanding of the living God. The Word is personal to you and I. Ultimate, the Word speaks, number four, ultimate, the Word speaks to all life in every situation though properly grasping the Word with joy and peace, welcoming you all through it. And see, that's what the Word of God will bring joy and peace into your life if you will adhere to the Word. Number five, universal, yes, the principles of God's Word works for everyone in all ways, all places, all over this world at the same time. Experience, from time to time, we need to re-examine our own experiences through the Word. And you need to always go back and examine where you're standing with the Word to make sure that you haven't slipped away from those things of which the Word, you know, and the Word that you're supposed to be doing. Because you see, again, I said something very important. This is a lifestyle. You're never, you think you know about tough. I've got news for you. Some of you brothers and sisters sitting out there in about 3 years is going to really know what tough is all about. Because I'm going to teach you how to do this thing properly. I'm going to teach you how to do it right. And it's not going to be in your back bedroom on your knees after you ate pizza the night before thinking God spoke to you. That's not the way this thing works. And that's not the way it's going to work for you. Number seven, the Word is final. Again, it's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, what does God know that we don't know? He knows we need to be guided. He knows that. He desperately wants to guide us. You see, this mechanism of having a spirit, which we're made first spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. This system in which God made was so that He could relate to our spirit man. The problem we have, He gave us five senses to govern this body, this flesh. And those five senses, bless God, gets in our way. Your mind is the worst enemy you got. It's not the devil, it's your mind. Okay? We've got the devil under our feet. What we got to get into and understand is that, bless God, that as long as you are being badgered by darkness and start giving in to darkness, you got to understand the rules in which you can combat darkness. And again, there are rules for that. And I hope this weekend we can take one session and begin to talk about those rules because darkness is going to come to you and darkness is going to try to do what? Darkness is going to try to say and prove to you that the Word of God is not the truth for your life. And that really, if you're sick and you decide to believe God for healing, don't you keep somehow at times feeling inside of you, well, maybe I'm just not supposed to be healed or maybe I've done something here or whatever. Sure, you know what that is? That's not the Spirit of God. Why? Because God never would speak that to you. What God says is, believe my word. My word is spirit and life unto those that find it. Okay? Believe my word. I will take you through this thing. Believe my word. And yet somehow we do that. So the principles of this thing works no matter what kind of a situation you have in your life and with your life. And that's important for you to always remember. God wants you to succeed on this earth. But He also wants you to understand something. In order for you to succeed, you're going to have to understand how this guidance mechanism truly works. Again, you have a spirit. Your spirit is in contact with God. Your problem is, you ever go, now listen, when you wake up in the morning, you notice where every once in a while you wake up and you've been seeking for an answer or something, and all of a sudden you just know the answer? We all do, don't we? Come on, shake your head. You know what that's all about? Your spirit has sought God all night long, and bless God, and all of a sudden you woke up and you just knew. Now listen to me, because this is the best and probably the deepest statement I've got to say to you tonight in this session. That's the way 99.9% of the people are going to be guided. That's no fun, is it? Because that's not dreams, and it's not visions, and it's not an audible voice. But listen to me, 99.9% of the people are going to be guided because your spirit is working. All this stuff that you're believing for, your spirit's working out for you 24/7. As long as you'll stand in there and believe your spirit. But what has your spirit got to believe if you're saying, I was healed. We're working healing. I'm not healed. Now what is he going to try to work out for you? See, you, in other words, you're confusing the whole mechanism because, number one, you just flat don't understand how to play the game. The rules are there, and if you can't keep the rules, you're going to lose. And you might die before it's all over. Because once you decide that you're going to take darkness on with light, you better understand what's going on. The powers of darkness, John 10:10, what? The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you're just going to know. Most of us are just going to know what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be, how it's going to be happening. You know what we're waiting on? Well, my brother, I'm waiting to hear from God. 9 times out of 10, you've already heard from God. You don't know you've heard from God. Why? Because that which is going on inside of you. Door 1, door 2, door 3. You know how to do the will of God? Go to door 1. If it don't open, don't pry it. Go to door 2. If that don't open, bless God's got to be door 3, so go and walk through it. You said, boy, that don't sound very spiritual. I didn't intend for it to be. But that's the way to find the will of God. Some of you are waiting to hear God tell you something that you're never going to hear the way you're wanting to hear it. Listen to me, because I'm speaking to you tonight, the revelation knowledge. You're never going to hear it that way. You're going to have to understand how this thing operates. I'm not your God. I could be if I'm not your prophet. But I'm not your God. And I never will be. That's the reason people call me and say, well, now, Brother Decker, I want to know. Anoint your head, wash your face, push the plate back, and fast until you get the answer. You see, that's what I have to do. And now, I didn't say I was going to become your God. I said I was going to be your prophet, didn't I? Okay? And being your prophet is not being your God. There's a big difference in that. I wouldn't make a very good God because I get real, being a loner, I don't do well with people anyway, and I get right down aggravated with them, and some of them aren't around anymore today, places this earth, because I just don't tolerate very much. And the reason I don't is I had to learn to fast and to pray to succeed, to survive. If I had to do that, then what makes you any different than me? Other than me be your little what? Every time you need something, call and say, now, let me know what I'm supposed to do. Folks, in a month's time, I bet you I get 500 emails with somebody trying to get me to tell them what they're supposed to be doing. Now, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's sick. I'm not God. God wants you, wants us as His children, to communicate directly with Him. You can do it, but what happens is this thing gets lopsided.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Prophet Tom Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois, Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So again, you can also get more. All the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom. Until next week, remember, with God, all things are possible.
I share my love with full yes here Nivra with Nata Behefto call Azaimele Azaimele Shemunikra.